come to turn, please, for three short readings, just three verses, really. And one in the Old Testament, two in the New. As we have said on a previous night, we are here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to preach the Word. We are to preach the Word of God. That's exactly what the apostles did as you read through the Acts, and that is exactly what we are here to do tonight. Just to preach the Word. And so everything that is said from this platform, you can rest assured of this, that it is not anything that we have conceived of ourselves. It's nothing that we have made up. We're not nearly clever enough for that. We are preaching solely from the Word of God. And that is why we take time to read it each night. So we're going to Isaiah, please, first of all. Isaiah in chapter 57. Isaiah 57. And we're going to read one verse, and it's out for us in verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. And in fact, I'm only going to read the first half of the verse. It says this: "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy." We'll read that again. "Thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy." Now over into the New Testament, we're going to the Gospels, please. And we're going to go for a reading in Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And we're just going to read one verse here as well. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And here it says this: "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." That is the Lord Jesus. "They crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary." And one final reading, please, to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. And again, we're just going to pick up one verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. And writes the Apostle Paul as he concludes this letter on a particularly solemn note. He says this: "If any man," verse 22 of chapter 16, "if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." We know that God will be pleased to add his blessing on the reading of his most precious word this evening. Now you might think that perhaps we have read three portions that you might just wonder, well, how is it that they all fit in together? How is it that they all sync? Well, my exercise tonight, just for a little while, is just to speak on three words. Three words that occur, at least as far as the English translation of the Bible is concerned, just one time only. Three words that just occur one time only. And I just want to impress these three words on you particularly tonight. You know, a little while ago, I received a notification on my phone inviting me to make an investment. The company was listing on the stock market, and it invited me to make an investment in, to be the first to have shares in this company. And I can gladly tell you that I did not invest in that company. I don't know what would have happened if I did. I don't know whether it flew or whether it tanked. But I didn't make an investment in that company. But I only tell you that for this reason, that the company that put out that offer was a company by the name of what three words? You might have heard of it. In fact, just last week, it's quite a useful tool, when we were convening for at a particular place in Morrison's car park from which we were going to coordinate and organize the distribution of the invites into the locality. Jason at the back, he asked for a location, and so I shared our what three words location. And that would give you the exact spot where you need to be, to the nearest 3 meter squared box, if you will. Every 3 meter squared on planet Earth has a unique three word identifier. And I can't remember what the three words were that took you to that space in Morrison's car park, but it seemed to do the job. But tonight I want to consider three words that will get you to the place where you need to be when it comes to the matter of the gospel. We are very concerned tonight that you get yourself located, that you get yourself located before God when it comes to the matter of eternity. There's the first one. It's very important that you get yourself located with regards to eternity. Number two, it's vital that you get yourself located when it comes to the place which is called Calvary. But it's important that you do that in the context of this word that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Maranatha. You say, well, what does that mean? It means this, that our Lord is coming. And so you see, when we come to you in the gospel, the free gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ever do it in the context that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And it could be today. We believe that. And so it is vital that you get yourself located and get yourself located today. As to eternity, as to Calvary, and making sure that you are ready for the coming again of the Lord. So we want to just very simply consider those three things with you. We're just going to consider this. Eternity, where? Calvary, why? Maranatha, when? Eternity, where? That's what we read together in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. There we are brought to consider the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Can we ask you tonight, do you really know where you will spend eternity? Peter was bringing us to consider tonight from 2 Timothy and chapter 1, a man who knew. A man who was prepared. A man who could write in there in chapter 4, as Peter read for us those verses, that he was ready. He was ready. He was staring death, as it were, face to face. And he could say that he was ready. And he was ready to be offered. Why? Because he had lived a moral life. Because he knew the scriptures better than anyone else. Because he had sought to do good. None of those things. He could stare death in the face and say that he was ready to be offered. Why? Because Peter was bringing us to consider tonight that he knew. He knew. He knew in whom he had believed. And it was for that reason and that reason only that he was prepared to meet God. You know, that's a verse in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, by the way. Prepare to meet thy God. It's vital. Where will you spend eternity? Eternity where? Paul knew. He knew. You know what? As Peter was speaking yesterday, I was brought to consider in my own mind another man. His name was Simeon. You read about him in Luke chapter 2. He was a man, old in age, and he too could face death, as it were, in the face. And he could say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Why? Because he had lived a good life? No. It is because he could say, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He had the immense privilege to hold the young Lord Jesus Christ in his very hands, and he could look upon the salvation of the Lord. And for that reason, and that reason only, through faith in him, he could look death face to face, prepared to depart in peace. You know, I remember a little while ago looking up the statistics from a recent survey of what people's perceptions were with respect to death. And the survey was quite conclusive that some 40% of respondents could say that they feared death. That is not uncommon. We could go around to Jerusalem tonight and we could find plenty of people that would be concerned about dying. How many people do you think die on an average day? High number. I think it's something in the region of about 1,700 people in the UK pass through the veil of death and pass into this eternity. And 40% of them are fearful. Wouldn't you just like to be like a Simeon tonight? Wouldn't you just like to be a Simeon who could be looking to that day when he would pass through that pillar of death and out into eternity, and looking at that with peace? And it can be your portion tonight. You can have a true peace, a path of understanding, and you can, like the Apostle Paul, or like Simeon, or like many other examples that we can give you, not just from Scripture, but even those in this room could tell you with full assurance that they are not fearing tomorrow. They are not fearing death because, and only because, there was a point in each experience when there was faith placed in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it's all of him, and it's all of his righteousness. It's all because what he has done at the place called Calvary that we'll come to consider just in a brief moment. It's all because of him, and through faith in him and letting go of all of ourself and all of our works and just calling upon the name of the Lord to save us. That's the reason, and the only reason why we can face death with full assurance. Looking forward even. That's what the Apostle Paul did, you know. He was looking forward to the day when he would be with Christ. He said it will be a day that is far better. He said to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He was talking about a day that would be far better. You know, he could say, for me to live is Christ. I'm contented with that. But to die is gain. And he was looking beyond. And he was looking to a day when he would be with his Lord and with his Savior, where he would see him face to face, when he would see him and he would be like him. That was the anticipation of the Apostle Paul. And I tell you what, it's the anticipation of a number in this room who have trusted Christ for salvation. You know, that's the eternity that the believer is anticipating. Not a fearful thing, but a blessed thing. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that there's two very real, very literal eternal destinations. Heaven, for those who have trusted Christ for salvation. And hell, for those who neglect and reject the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have to tell you about that. It's not a thing we do gladly, but we have to tell you about the reality of a lost eternity. Because the Bible goes to great length to warn you. God wants to warn you because God wants you to be saved. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. But in love, you know, he warns you about a place where he does not want you to go. is described as a place of torment. It's described as a place where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's described as a place of eternal fire. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he would very graciously lift back the veil, as it were, of death and allow us to look. Luke chapter 16, you'll read about this. Allow us to look to consider two very real men in two very real eternities, and to see a man in the great burnings of hell, tormented. That's one eternal destiny. That prospect is a solemn prospect. But on the other hand, we present a prospect, not a solemn prospect, but now a splendorous prospect of the day and the anticipation that we were thinking of that the Apostle Paul had, of the anticipation that Simeon had, of the anticipation that every believer on who the Lord Jesus Christ has. A blessed prospect to be with Christ, which is far better. You know, Peter, he were talking in his epistle, you can read about this, of what is reserved up for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks about something, an inheritance that is undefiled, that is incorruptible, something that doesn't fade away, something that is reserved in heaven, he says, for you, for the believer. You know, it's so good, he can't tell you what it is, but he can tell you what it's not. He can tell you it doesn't corrupt. He can tell you it doesn't fade away. He can tell you all the things that it's not, but it's so great, he can't fully expand upon it. But it's the anticipation for the believer. John in the Revelation, He could write concerning something of a new heaven and a new earth. And he could speak about an eternal day where, get this, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There'll be no more curse. You can read about this in the Revelation. All the no mores. That is a splendorous prospect. And it's the eternity that awaits the believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask the question, eternity where? Eternity where? Is it heaven or is it hell? Well, we have to tell you that if you've not yet come to Christ, if you've not yet come in repentance towards God and called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, then the prospect that awaits is hell. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Eternity where? Well, you say, I don't want to be in a place of torment. You say, I don't want to be in a place where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't want my prospect to be hell. I want my prospect to be heaven. I want my prospect to be a prospect of splendor. All the things you talked about, that's what I want. I don't want to go to the burnings of hell. You say, how do I get it? You need to come to Calvary. You need to ask yourself the question, Calvary, why? That's what we read in Luke 23. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the Lord Jesus. Have you ever stopped to consider the reason why? Well, you might tell me, well, it's because the Jews, they hated him. They moved with envy against him. Well, yes, it was. But have you ever considered the other aspect of that? Peter would preach about him, the Lord Jesus, who was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So Calvary was ever in the plans and the purposes of God. So yes, it was the rejection of the people of Israel as a large. It was their rejection, but it was also in the plans and the purposes of God, because it was only through what was accomplished there upon Calvary's cross that God could ever save a sinner like you and me. You know, as a hymn in this book, it speaks about the perfect righteousness of God. We read about that, didn't we, in Isaiah 57? He who is high and lofty and lifted up. He speaks about the perfect righteousness of God. And the hymn goes on like this, that it is in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ there was crucified at the place called Calvary. It was so that through his sinless, through his substitutionary, sacrificial death, that God could have a just and a righteous basis on which to forgive you and I who have sinned and violated his holy, righteous standards. It was the only way. It was the only way. We make that very clear. You know, we were just talking, John and Scott and I, before the meeting, about something of the sufferings that was his that he bore upon the cross. It moves you. Something to think of all that he suffered, all that he suffered beforehand, how he was taken by wicked men and how they would do their worst against him, how they would spit upon him, how they would pluck the hair from his face, how they would scourge him, how they would beat him, how they would spit upon him, all these things, it moves you. But then to consider him at the place called Calvary, I tell you what, crucifixion is a horrific thing. You don't need me to tell you that. But if you really go and look it up, it will horrify you. It was the most inhumane way that there was to end a life. And it's what they did to the sinless Son of God. They crucified him. Now ask yourself the question, why? Ask yourself the question, why? Ask yourself, if there was any other way, then why would God allow his Son to endure the suffering and the shame and the ridicule of Calvary? Oh, he suffered it because it was the only way. Calvary, why? It was the only way. It was the only way that God can judicially forgive you and me, because the Christ, the sinless one, has died for us who are guilty. Christ also has once suffered for sins, says the scriptures, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. So we can ask you to consider these three things. Eternity where? Calvary why? Maranatha. You say you didn't get time to speak on that one. No, I didn't. But the question is, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Maranatha, when? Are you sure of the fact that your sins have been forgiven? Can you look back to a point in your experience and say, that was the moment when I recognized that I am a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and what I judicially and righteously deserved was only hell? But God, oh God, who was rich in mercy, God, who in the riches of his grace has sent his Son to Calvary, he has gone all the way and paid the price so that I can be saved. And you say, that was the moment. That was the day when I repented towards God and I exercised faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am ready. When the Lord comes, I'm ready. I'll be there. Maranatha, when? You know, the Bible tells us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Could even be today. And it could just be, as we say, we make the announcement for the meetings next week, but it's only in the will of God. And imagine what it would be if you came Monday night, 8 p.m., and the doors are just shut up. Because the believers are with the Lord. Maranatha, when? Eternity why? Eternity where? Calvary why? Maranatha.